And the reality is that we need God's presence. Amen? Amen. I want to begin this morning with reading a couple of passages of Scripture that are foundational to God's plan for our life. And they both have to do with what comes forth from intimacy. You know, when we experience God's presence, the reality is that is a place of intimacy, amen, with God, a place of closeness. And so let's begin this morning looking at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild land animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And so we see that God made mankind with the intention of being fruitful and multiplying. Amen? God did not intend mankind to just be male and female and that's the end of it. It was just the beginning. And so we see that there is a command in the natural of multiplication to God's people. But that's not all there is to God's heart when it comes to multiplication. Let's look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are both very familiar passages to all of us. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The reality is both of these passages of Scriptures have to do with fruitfulness and multiplication. Amen? One has to do with birthing and raising natural children in a family. The other has to do with birthing and raising children of God in a spiritual family. A few weekends ago, I personally was moved and challenged by the connection that Scott Heldreth made between intimacy in the natural between a husband and wife and how it results in pregnancy, and how intimacy with the Lord results in becoming pregnant with the Lord's vision in our heart. Both require a level of intimacy. Both forms of pregnancy also require spending time in a private, intimate union in order for fruitfulness and multiplication to occur. And here's the reality that exists with both forms of intimate union. God's plan is that it result in the formation and birth of children, whether that be natural children or spiritual children. Amen? See, God has designed it that without intimacy, pregnancy does not occur. Now, I know that might be rather obvious to some of us, but the world really looks at it differently at times. Amen? In fact, there are those that in the medical field, now that we have advanced, if you will, in medical science, the thought is that there is not the need for intimacy in order to produce fruit and multiplication from the womb. What's interesting, however, is that it still takes invasiveness. Amen? And let me tell you, when the world tries to produce something of God, but it doesn't happen as the result of intimacy with God, how many know it invades areas that it should not be invading? Amen? It enters into places that it should not enter. And so the truth is that God's plan and design for pregnancy, fruitfulness, and multiplication is that it occur both naturally and spiritually through an intimate union. That's the way God designed it. And let's be honest, it's only been in less than the last 100 years that it's ever been able to happen any other way. I mean, even when you read in the Old Testament and there were issues of barrenness in families, the laws that God established with the nation of Israel is that if a man could not produce children through with his wife, that it was the responsibility of the brother to have union with that wife to produce children on behalf of his brother. So regardless, it is the intention that it is an intimate act of union that brings forth life. Now, what I want to emphasize this morning is that when it comes to God's plan unfolding and the pregnancy of vision to occur within our own heart and life, just like there can be in the natural, there are oftentimes many challenges that come to being impregnated, if you will, and carrying forth and birthing God's vision in our life. And so we're going to look at those challenges this morning. Number one, the first challenge is this. There are some people who want to experience the benefits of intimate union, but they don't want the responsibility and the work that comes from a pregnancy and a birth that results from that intimate union. Let me state that again. This is a challenge, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. You're going to find that these principles I'm going to share with you this morning are interconnected both with the natural realm and the spiritual realm. So let me state that again, the first challenge. There are some people who want to experience the benefits of intimate union. Do we not see this today? But they don't want the responsibility and the work that comes from a pregnancy and a birth that results from that intimate union. In the natural, they want to enjoy sexual pleasure and involvement, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it. We see this quite regularly. Despite what the world tells you, this is the real result of the majority of abortion today. That it's not based upon those few cases where there's a crisis pregnancy as a result of like rape or incest. Probably 95% or better, and I'm probably being pretty generous with the 95% statement, is that much of what happens in terms of abortion is the result of a pregnancy that somebody wanted the intimacy of a relationship, but they didn't want the responsibility of the relationship. And so how many times can that happen? And it also happens spiritually. See, there are people, some people, who want to experience the blessings and the benefits of worship and intimacy with God. We experienced that this morning, amen? We want that intimacy. We want that presence. We want that closeness with God. Much of the church wants that. There are people all across this nation that are raising their hands, that want to experience all the wonders and the closeness and the blessings of God. They want intimacy with the Father. But what they don't want is the responsibility and the work that will be required of them once the Lord impregnates them with His vision in their heart in the midst of that intimacy. I want that to set in this morning. See, the reality is if you truly do get intimate with the Lord, He will impart His vision within you. That's why we talk about fasting and prayer. We're seeking God. We're setting aside the things of the flesh to say, God, I don't want the things of this world. My heart, my desire, my cry is I need to know You. And I need to know Your heart. And I need to know what You desire for my life. And what You desire for the people of God. See, that's what God wants to birth, impregnate us with when we come into intimacy with Him. But then when He does impart His vision within our heart, He also assigns responsibility. He assigns the responsibility of carrying that vision, right? To full term. He assigns the responsibility of birthing that vision. And He assigns the responsibility of nurturing and protecting and caring for that vision all the way to maturity and completion. And folks, I'm going to tell you that just like natural intimacy brings forth natural life, whatever vision God gives you, it's going to result in the multiplication of disciples of Christ. See, whatever vision you get, you need to understand that God is a God of life and fruitfulness and multiplication. He began that way and He continues that way. That's the nature and heart of God, both in the natural and the spiritual. God wants children. And we are the bride of Christ. So how do you think He births spiritual children? Through you and through me. Amen? Well, see, that's the part of intimacy some followers of Christ either don't like or want or fear. Amen? And because of these kinds of attitudes, those Christians respond to the impregnation of God's vision in their heart in one of two ways. They either try to resist and prevent becoming pregnant with God's vision in their heart. Lord, I want the closeness, but I don't want that. So that's one way. Or if they do become pregnant with God's vision, they seek to abort it. Oh. See, we're Christians. We believe in life. But if we'll be honest with God, have we ever sought to abort the vision that He's put in our heart that He calls us to multiply? And again, that has to do with making disciples. The problem is, Romans 11:29 says this, God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. See, we might be able to abort a child in the natural. And you may even attempt to abort God's vision for your life in the spiritual. Well, I want to tell you something. We might be able to get away with it in the natural realm. You can't get away with it in the spiritual realm. There ain't no abortion clinic in heaven. Naturally or spiritually. And because of that, God will hold us accountable for the gifts He's given us and the calling and the vision He has impregnated us with, to carry it, to birth it, and to protect it and raise it and see it come to maturity. And so if you have been united with Christ, then He has commanded you, be fruitful and multiply. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That is His promise. See, we as Christians have got to realize we've got to do that in the spiritual, just like we would call people to do it in the natural. How many of us will say, God will be with you. God will take you through that. God will carry you through. He will provide. Do we believe that when it comes to God's vision for our life? I know that's a little challenging. All right, a second challenge that exists to God's plan for intimacy and fruitfulness and multiplication is this. Some people want the blessing of fruitfulness and multiplication in their life. See, they want that. They want to be fruitful and multiply. I know that feeling. Okay? In other words, they want to birth something. But they want to do it apart from intimacy. So now it's the opposite. Okay? The first person wants the intimacy without responsibility. Now this person wants the fruit of intimacy, but they want to obtain it without intimacy. Now that happens more than we realize, folks. That's causing that when in the natural, that means that the home fires have stopped burning, if you know what I mean. And what happens in the natural is that we get caught up in work and the responsibilities of life, and or maybe we get involved with outside activities like hobbies, and we get so busy and we're up early and we stay up late and we never come together in union, a husband and wife. And if that happens after so many years and no children have showed up yet, now, in some cases, yes, that could be beyond their control. But in many cases, it's just, guess what? You got to plant a seed if you want fruit. Amen? And the same thing holds true, we know, with a husband and wife. They've got to have intimacy. They've got to come together. Well, now I could go a whole new direction on what is the breakdown of intimacy. Amen? Okay? See, well, this same holds true in the spiritual realm. How many people want the blessings of God? They want a ministry. They want to do something for God. Because in their own sense of self-worth and their own sense of value, they realize that, you know, if I'm producing fruit, I feel significant in some way. But how many know you don't get your significance from what you do? You get your significance from who you are in Jesus Christ. You get your significance as the bride from the bridegroom. That's where your identity comes from. And there's too many people in the church that are working, 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 doing, doing, doing. But they're not taking time to spend with the Lord intimately. I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord challenged me on this a couple of weeks ago. And my heart's cry has been since then, God, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's a fight. You know, even in the natural, right? If you get used to a busy schedule, it's not like you just snap your fingers and that all goes away so that you can spend lots of time with your spouse now, right? There's some things, there's a process that you're going to have to go through to say, I need to get things in right order here. And that may be a challenge to some of you today, that you want the fruit of the labor, if you will, But you can't have the fruit of labor if you don't first have intimacy. And some of us need to start setting aside a time and setting our priorities in order so that we do have time to be intimate with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. If your main time of intimacy is here on Sunday morning, that ain't enough. Don't expect to get pregnant and to birth God's vision for your life if your greatest time of intimacy is just one time a week on Sunday morning. It ain't going to cut it. If you're not spending time in God's Word, if you're not walking and seeking and praying and calling out to the Lord and in worship with Him, in intimacy with Him, then don't be surprised if you're wondering, why don't I know what God wants for my life? Sunday morning is not going to be enough to give it to you. So we need intimacy. And I'm going to tell you this too. I believe that this is intimacy with God. But I'm going to tell you, I also believe, folks, listen, this is intimacy with one another in the body of Christ as well. You know, have you noticed that when a farmer plants a field, he doesn't just plant one seed? He plants a whole field of seeds. And let's be honest, even in the natural, you know, I know I'm talking about intimate matters, but we're all mature enough here. You know, even when a woman is, you know, conceiving, there are many, the woman produces one, maybe two seeds, but the male produces millions. The implanting of millions. Now, where I'm going with that is that we need to be together. How many know that part of the seed of God is the Word of God? And you do need the Word of God with God intimately, one-on-one. Like I said, that is primary. But that Word also comes both from the Logos, the written word, and the rhema, the prophetic, if you will, word. And many times that comes forth in the midst of the body together. And so we need to be joining together with other Christians on a regular basis. But how many Christians will say things like, well, I don't have time to go to church. You know, that's my, I work all week. That's my one day off. How many of you heard it? You know, I got other important matters to take care of. Or I don't have time to participate in a small group. You know, it's not really my thing. You know, it's one more thing I've got to do during my week. It really comes down to what in the world are we here for? I'm serious. What in the world are we here for? Are we not here to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to make disciples of all nations? You can't do that by yourself, folks. God, you are the body of Christ. You make up the different parts. And if you stay isolated and segregated from one another, you cannot be fruitful and multiply the way God intends. See, that's part of the birthing and carrying out the vision that God puts in you. It happens in a family, right? Well, if it's going to happen in a family, the family's got to be together once in a while. We're talking about vision, right? And yes, we need to have that private time with the Lord. Well, so the reality is, if we don't take time to become intimate with God and with His people, we will not see the fruitfulness and multiplication take place in our life that He wants to see produced. And so I want to challenge you. Are you consistently in worship? Are you one-on-one and with the body of Christ? Are you connected to a small group of people? Listen, we don't do this just because it's a program in the church. If that's the way we think, we've missed it altogether. It's more organic than that. It's about the relation. It's not about, okay, good, we can check off this mark. You're in this group, you're in this group, you're in this group. Good, good, we got all of our, you know, we're doing all of our little church things. Throw that garbage out the window. It's about, are you connected with other followers of Christ working together to produce God's vision? And I'm telling you, that vision, again, you're not going to get it accomplished by yourself. And we also need to get out of this self mentality that I go to a small group for what I can get out of it. You know, I don't know about you, but I think that's what parents work for about 18 years with their kids to try to drive out of them. What you get out of something. And you have to train them about how you can contribute to the kingdom of God, to the world around you, to this family as well. That's what maturity is, right? When you realize that it's not about me, that I've been put here to serve and to give and to love and to contribute. Amen? And so we got to start looking at a group differently. Now, I'm going to say this because I'm looking around the room. And I'm going to say, by and large, the majority of us have been Christians for a while. Not all of us, but most of us. And that being said, that means that we're the ones that need to be giving and serving, not just being served and given to. And that world out there is going to be full of babes that are going to come in, and guess what? They don't know about this stuff. They're the ones that are going to need being served. They're the babes. Guess what? They're the vision that God's going to impregnate you with. And you're going to have to care for them. I'm saying this I'm using a natural illustration, but I want to apply this spiritually. You're going to have to change their messy diapers, the messes that they make when they come into the church. You know, people go, oh man, I don't want to see new people come in the church. It's like they just make a mess of things. Well, guess what?
Babies do.
Exactly. Babies do. Right? Right, Fred? Amen. That's right. Okay. So we got to grow up. We got to grow up. And I'm going to tell you, God has called this church. We've been talking about this, right? He's saying, shore up the nets. Guess what? You're the nets. You're the ones that are getting mobilized. We got a harvest coming. And you got to get in place so that when that harvest comes, it's not just about, oh, Jesus, I love you. You're a great one. No, it's about wiping noses and wiping behinds and changing diapers and realizing that they haven't got it all figured out. You know, how many new people come into the church and Christians are just, you know, that's why some people won't come into some churches. Because the Christians that are there, it's like, it's like looking at a 3-year-old expecting him to be 25. How come you act like that? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to act like that. I don't know about you, I ain't jumping into a family like that either. Right? When they come in here, we need to look at them like, oh, ain't they cute? And Lord, let's keep praying for them that they figure that out at some point. And yeah, we may have to talk to them a little bit and help them to understand the truth, but we got to do it gently and lovingly and compassionately. And realize that, you know what, we didn't get where we are overnight, and they're not going to get where they need to be overnight either. So that's part of the mobilization too, that we put away, we take off our Pharisee hat and we put on our hat of the story of the Good Samaritan, and we're willing to see that person in the gutter and go pick them up and put them on our beast, if you will, and pay for, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to pay for somebody else's stuff? Amen. There you go. Hey, Jesus did it for us. You ready to preach? Man, I'm ready to have you preach. Woo! Amen. I know. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I'm just like, man, there's some good points coming out of there. All right? So, we need to be together. All right? Now, a third challenge that exists to God's plan for intimacy, fruitfulness, and multiplication is this. Some people want to experience the joys and blessings that come forth from both intimacy and pregnancy, but they don't want to have to deal with the work that is required to nurture and protect and care for what has been birthed. Okay, let me say that again. Some people want to experience the joys and blessings that come from both intimacy, now listen to this, and pregnancy. Now, women might argue with me on that. Yeah, you've never been pregnant, man. You don't know, you know. But I want to say something. And you'll have to help me if I get a little emotional. But I'm just going to say something because I can relate to it. I've watched my wife go to a lot of baby showers over the years. And I've watched her have to listen to women tell the stories of their pregnancies and the experiences. And they love talking about that. And we would never, don't ever not do that. Dawn wouldn't want you to do that. But ladies, don't tell me there isn't joy in pregnancy. I know a woman who would long to know what that's like. Has longed to know what that's like. And so some people want the joys of intimacy and pregnancy, but they don't want the work that comes once the baby's been born. Some people want the joy of carrying that vision that God's put in their heart. They love the idea of it. They love the fact that God wants me to do this, and it's this notion. Or they see somebody else that's pregnant with God's vision. You know what I mean? And they're like, man, I would like to know what that's like. And they get all, you know, thrilled with the idea. But that's as far as it ever goes. That's as far as they get. They don't want to do the work to put their hand to the plow, to do what is required to see that vision come forth. That's where it gets hard, right, folks? Now, ladies, yes, it's work being pregnant. But I'm pretty sure most of you and husbands are going to tell me that no, the real work begins after the baby's been born. That's when the work exists. Well, the work that we're talking about, both with the natural children and spiritual children, is what the Bible calls discipleship. And discipleship is simply this. It's the process that we go through as followers of Christ that trains us and challenges us to take up our cross daily in living for Christ. What that simply means is that it's a process in which we learn to die to ourselves so that our full devotion is to Christ and what He has planned for our life. That's really what discipleship is. It's that process. Learning to take up your cross, die to yourself, live for God's plan, which is always going to be fruitful and multiply, making disciples of all nations. Amen? Well, guess what? That process involves three facets. The first facet of discipleship is this. Every one of us are called to go through a process where we need people in our lives who are training us and challenging us to die to ourselves in order to live for Christ and build others up. Amen? How many know before you can disciple somebody else, you first need to be discipled? How many know before you can raise children, you first need to be raised? Right? Okay? But I want to tell you something. Here's the problem in much of the church today. The church is filled with orphans. Undiscipled people. What I mean by that is there are many followers of Christ who have been born into God's family, but they don't have a relationship with someone in their life who's further along and more mature in their walk with Christ than they are, who are discipling them and helping them to grow up in Christ. How many people don't have someone else in their life equipping and training them? Discipling them. Amen? Teaching them how to die to themselves and live for others. Guess what? That doesn't end when you leave home and you go out on your own. Maybe in the natural, but certainly not in the spiritual. Every one of us needs somebody speaking into our lives. That's why I told the Lord before we started this church, I said, Lord, I know you've called me to the ministry, but I will not start until you give me a covering. Because I know that if I'm left to myself, the devil can eat my lunch if I'm not, you know, held up by the short hairs and accountable to other men of God. And I could run this place into the ground for selfish reasons. And I said, no, I need men in my life who will hold me accountable. And that if I start doing that, they're going to say, ho, ho, bucko. You need to learn how to grow up, even as a leader. None of us are beyond having someone in our life who speaks into our life. I don't care how old you are. Pastor Keith has Brother Rod in his life. And every once in a while at Band of Brothers, he'll even tell a story how Brother Rod even yet speaks into Pastor Keith's life. See, that's what I love about this network. They practice what they preach. Amen? So that's the first facet. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:14 through 17. He says, I am writing this not to shame you, listen to this, but to warn you as my dear children. Do you hear the heart of the Apostle Paul there? And notice he's saying children. This is a discipling relationship he's talking about. He says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, how many have had babysitters? How many have had teachers? How many know they're not your parents? They're your guardians, right? Even though you have had 10,000 guardians, you do not have many fathers. A fathering relationship is a discipling relationship or a mothering relationship for women in the body of Christ. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. How many know that's who children are going to tend to imitate? Not their guardians, their parents. right? For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love. So now he's sending a brother to the younger children. How many know in big families, older children help the process of raising the younger children, right? Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you, but this is what he's reminding you of, what mom and dad say, right? Remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. See, many times when a person becomes a new follower of Christ, listen to this, they are unwilling to submit themselves to a process of discipleship. I've seen it. Where they allow someone to train and challenge them to die to themselves. We must not be that kind of people. We must be willing to submit to a relationship of discipleship. God's not going to twist your arm. But wait a minute, we are talking about his vision for our life, right? That begins, how many know before you're ever going to fulfill the vision God has for your life, even in the natural, you're going to have to submit to your parents and learn how to die to yourself so when you get out in the real world, it isn't all about me, myself, and I. Right? And guess what? That's what God gave you parents to teach you. And that's what God will give you a discipling relationship for in the body of Christ. Because there are people who come into the church and they want to make it about me, myself, and I. My ministry, my this, my that, my comfort, my happiness. Wrong. Now I know there's a lot of churches that are feeding into that. But that's not what discipleship is about. All right. The second facet of discipleship is God calls us to walk through the process with others we are growing together with in Christ. Okay? So it's not just I'm being discipled, but I've got brothers and sisters in Christ that I'm going through the journey with. How many know siblings tend to squabble a little bit? And it really becomes quite an iron sharpening iron relationship. Amen? I may know my brother, I know my brother and I, we took off some rough spots on one another. And when we couldn't get it figured out, then that's when mom and dad got involved. Amen? Okay? Listen, you know what? You need other brothers and sisters in your life, in the body of Christ. And you know what? Now, as you get older, you know, I watch Dawn and Jackie in their relationship. You know, they are tight as sisters. You know, now when you have brothers and sisters as you grow up, hopefully if you had developed a good relationship, the whole idea is that, yeah, you squabble and fight. They'll be the first ones that you do that with because guess what? It's because there is such a sense of we're a part of one another. We're from the same family. Guess what? You might not like it, but you're stuck with me, right? You see what I'm saying? We need to have relationships like that in the body of Christ. And there again, that's where the small groups and that type of thing comes in. Where we are in, that's where we serve on a team. Have you ever noticed that you don't always agree with somebody else that you serve on a team with? Or maybe you're in a group with? Does that mean we should quit the group or quit the team? No, that means, guess what? God's using your brothers and sisters to sometimes hold you up and sometimes sharpen you. Amen? Which is take off those rough edges in your life. So we need that facet of discipleship, relationship in the body of Christ. And then finally, the third facet of the process of discipleship is we need to grow up to the place where we are discipling, training, and challenging others to lay down their life for Christ in the ways that we have learned to do and are doing within our own life. Okay? So we need to come to the place where we are doing the work of discipleship with others. That's called maturity and responsibility within the body of Christ. Now, we need to be careful of this. Because how many siblings like their brothers and sisters, telling them what to do. It doesn't go over so well, does it? So you need to realize is that a discipling relationship is an understood relationship where there is the person who is speaking into the person's life, and there is the person whose life is being spoken into. And too many times, even brothers, sisters in the Christ, or sisters in the church, you know, are like they got that speck of sawdust in their eye and the plank. And they want to try to take the speck of sawdust out of their brother's and sister's eye, and they really don't have the authority or the place to do that. Now, if it was something to do with between the two, yes. But when it's something else that's going on in the person's life outside of the relationship that you two have with one another, that needs to come from an authority, not from you. Amen? Now, there are these situations where sometimes the kids do tell on one another. Right? I mean, that's what I want you to see. You can take the spiritual principles and really see them through what goes on in the natural. Okay? But listen, folks, there comes a point where you need to grow up and start investing in another person's life, and God will lead you to that. God will have matured and equipped some of you. Listen, God has equipped and matured some of you in this church to do the hard work of discipling other followers of Christ. You're at that place in your walk with Christ. You're beyond receiving the vision. You need to do the work of raising the vision. Does that make sense? And God is saying to you, it's time to put your hand to the plow. Yes, it will be hard. Yes, it will be messy. Oh, let me tell you, it will be inconvenient at times. You will be stretched to new places. But the truth is, God still said, make disciples. God is calling some of us to address the orphan problem in the church today. We need more than just babysitters and guardians, though, folks. We need fathers and mothers. We need discipling relationships. And so here's what I believe God wants concerning the vision that He places within our hearts. Number one, I believe that there are folks here today that in the place of intimacy, He has conceived or wants to conceive His vision in your heart. And God's saying, I need some time with you. I want you to be coming into that place, that secret place with me. You know who you are. You know who you are. The Spirit of God is already quickening that to your heart right now. I don't believe He wants us to avoid spending time with Him because we're afraid or feel incompetent to conceive, birth, and raise His vision. He's calling you to the secret place. Secondly, I believe that there are people here that God has already placed His vision in your heart. And He wants you to prepare and to plan for that vision to be birthed. He wants you carrying that vision. You're in the prenatal phase of the vision. It's in your heart. You're dreaming about what will be, what can be. And He wants you to take care of that vision. He wants you to continue to brood over His Word. He wants you to allow that to grow within your heart. That's a preparation time, amen? And guess what? That's also a time where you, basically, you are in the body of Christ. You are in relationship with others in a small group. You are being discipled. Okay? That's preparing. That's what the pregnancy season is. It's a preparation for birth. Amen? And so God is preparing you, raising you up, calling you to a higher place. And so you need to continue to submit to that process of discipleship in your own life. And God doesn't want you trying to abort that vision by not participating in a group or not spending time with Him continually still in prayer. Guess what? You still need intimacy even after pregnancy. Now, intimacy at that sense may not be in that physical form, but how many know intimacy is not always physical? Amen? Okay? And then finally, I believe that God is calling some of us here to birth that vision and begin doing the hard work of making disciples. Some of us here have been Christians a long time and we still look at ourselves as inadequate or unable. Some of you are here and you've been through that process in the natural. Now God's calling you to do it in the spiritual. And you didn't think you could be much of a parent either, but guess what? You made it. God took you through it, or maybe you're still going through it, right? But God didn't say, well, don't do it. No, He said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? All right. So, where I want to end with this morning is the work of the ministry is really discipleship. It is. Okay? And discipleship can be on various levels. It can be in a small group. It can be one-on-one. How many know there are times when you train your children when they're all together? And there are times where you've got to take your child off one-on-one if you have more than one and work with that one child on a specific area. That's part of the process. Amen? Now see, in the body of Christ, that can happen at various levels based on authority in the church and so on and so forth. And so that's why you do have pastoral leadership, the fivefold ministry. But then even in a local church, you have leaders of teams, leaders of groups, that type of thing. Folks, listen, this is what I want us to really grasp today. If you are a group leader or you are a leader of a team, I don't want you to just see it as a ministry. I want you to see it as a discipling relationship. Now again, in some senses that's going to function brother and sister wise, but you're going to be an older brother or sister helping out a younger brother and sister. And quite frankly, that's pretty much how it works in the church with teams. But if there's a discipline problem, if you can work it out, you know, you can talk, you know, how many know siblings sometimes can work things out and the parents don't have to be involved? But there are some times where it's like, that ain't happening. Okay? Well, then guess what? Come talk to mom and dad. Okay? You understand that I'm going back and forth between natural and spiritual, right? Come talk to the authority of the house. That's our responsibility. And be thankful all the way there that you aren't the one that has to take on that responsibility. You know, unless God calls you to it, and then you better not run from it. But I'll tell you what, coming to where we did took a lot of years to get there in the discipleship process. Okay? So what I want to do this morning is I'm going to do it specifically with our group leaders this morning. So I'm going to ask, Laura, is Laura downstairs? Can we Can we bring the kids up? Because I want the group leaders. We've begun this past week. Some of the groups were able to start. Some of the groups will be starting this week. But we've started our new LED groups, and which again stand for Life, Evangelism, and Discipleship. Okay? And this is a whole new process that we've implemented. But now we have a more leader-style group than we did before. The other was facilitating, which that's for the most part what goes on with a group. But still, I am asking those that are group leaders and even apprentice leaders to be the big brothers and sisters who help Dawn and I minister and care for this church, because Dawn and I can't get our arms all the way around it by ourselves. We need, and that's one of the reasons we're putting these things in place. And so, but what's really cool is I've already here and there, I haven't gotten to everybody, but I've had conversations with a few that have had their groups started, and just already hearing some of the testimonies of, again, they're not, I will let you know, they're not betraying confidences, because that's one of the requirements that they are not allowed to do, is to betray the confidence of their group that they're leading, okay? But they do let me know how things are going in generally. And specifically, I'm working with them as the leader. And I'm excited about, you know, things that I'm already hearing and ways that we're able to now, as mom and dad, raise up those older brothers and sisters to be even more effective caregivers and leaders of people they're ministering to. Amen? So we really are underway, folks. We got a long way to go. I'm going to let you know that. But we are underway in the mobilization process. And so what I want to do is I want to bring, once they get up here, I want to bring all the group leaders and the apprentice leaders up front. And I would like us all, actually, Dawn and I are just going to do it. We're going to lay a hand of blessing. And if you will, they're not being ordained, but commissioning. To commission them officially into the role that they're in, as well as you all know they're in that role. And my prayer is that ministry now begins to multiply in LifeGate Community Church. And that we are being positioned now to be able to handle more people coming in. Amen? All right, so we got the kids up here.